This is God's Covenant Church, the Church of God established in Jesus' name. Thanking God for another Sabbath day in the School of Wisdom. And I was thinking on the scripture where it says, we are doers of the word and not hearers only. And this is a beautiful thing for the people of God, our strive, living holy, living righteous. And I'm so glad that I'm a part of God's church. I'm a part of the teaching, been here for some time, under such great leadership, and continuing under our great pastor today. And I'm just happy to be here. And at this time, I present unto you our great pastor, and he is a great teacher, and I'm so glad I'm a part of Sheep, our Pastor Perry Boyd.
Thank you, Elder Phillips. Right, elders, missionary, deacons, all the saints, all that hear my voice, we do greet you in the name of Jesus, another Sabbath day. Glad to be with you, glad for this door. And it's because of our great Bishop Barfield, our great Bishop Philip, and our great Bishop Dorothy for the life they live, took a stand for God's word, for God's commandments. And we're continuing steadfast in the prophets and the apostles' doctrine. We want to talk to you today about being corrected with judgment. That's what this life is all about. And before we get into that thought, choir, my prayer.
A striving saint with brethren, how am I? Do I fellowship and love all men in wisdom? For the example shows how the Lord is of no respect of persons. Mocking the perfect man, I implement good judgment. I sacrifice to die with Christ. Daily I pay, and his ways may know, his acts I must maintain. So my pray not for the world. It's my prayer from sin. This is my prayer of Christ, my reasonable sacrifice.
This is my reasonable sacrifice.
Out in the world, while on my job, I'm yet praying. While driving home, while on the phone, I'm still saying, Lord, keep me mindful of the instructions from my holy teachings. Let my words yea be yea and my nays be nays from the right spirit. I don't pray aloud, excited crowds, telling how that I live holy. But I pray in private, in silence, in my mind, it's daily. So my prayer, my prayer, I pray, oh, I pray not for the world.
Always watching
for my God to lead me.
done. Isn't that beautiful? Thank God for the choir. Thank God for our elder Miles. He accompanies Sister Tatum when she's reciting poem. But he does sing solo, and he has a number he wants to sing for us now. Thank God. It's called, How Can I Say Thanks? To God be the glory. That's the one. Thank God. From our deacon, Debbie. I enjoyed the choir.
You can visit us anytime for our broadcast messages at www.godscovenantchurch.org. Write and mail us at 425 Laconia Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90061, or call us at any time at area code 323-754-8302. You can email us at info@godscovenantchurch.org. Also, you can subscribe to our podcast at www.godscovenantchurch.org. If you have any questions or concerns about this way, or questions about any scriptures, please text us at area code 323-388-5676, and we will strive to get you the answer on our program. Again, that number is area code 323-388-5676. Now our pastor.
Thank you, Deacon. Another Sabbath day. Glad to be with you. We are few in number. And God said you're the fewest of all people. And we wonder how many stumble across our site into our podcast. There's not many that find salvation. I would say that the true worshipers are like unto a needle in a haystack, or like a treasure hidden in a field. And the field is the world. And with those type of parables, how do you find churches on every corner? It's false. But one thing I do know, I know how those that are living for God should act. And we should be concerned about our behavior. God corrects us with judgment, but the enemy is trying to take judgment out of the hand of the Son, which he can't do. It was given to the Son. Without judgment, you cannot live for God. And God said, judge not that ye be not judged. He's talking about when you come to God, don't sit around pointing your fingers at others. Work on yourself. But there are ones appointed to correct you with judgment. Yes. Let's go to Jeremiah 10 and 23. While we're getting at Deuteronomy 4 and 6 says, keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. I believe the scripture. I believe God's word. Jeremiah 10 and 23, Deacon Franny, what does it say?
O Lord, I know that the way of a man is not in himself.
O Lord, I know the way of man, not of a man.
Of man is not in
way
himself.
Way of man is not in himself. What?
It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps.
You want to be directed in this life, how to live in this life and please God. It's not in the carnal mind. It's not in the natural man. It has to be guided. Read.
O Lord, correct me, but with judgment.
That's the thought. We want to be corrected. And so many people would call that constructive criticism. It don't have to be criticism to correct. Encouraging demeanor and situations correct. But it's got to be done with judgment. Everything we do is judged. And if you don't want to be judged, then you have to wait till that final day and judgment is passed upon you. But you can be judged now. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Oh, Lord, correct me. What?
But with judgment.
But with judgment. What?
Not in thine anger.
So I don't want God to correct me in his anger. And all of us, and we are striving to please the Lord, we don't want to be corrected in God's anger, but what?
Least thou bring me to nothing.
We'll be brought to nothing. Let's go to Matthew's 7 and 1. This devil, for some time now, and I would say from day one, he tries to confuse God's word as he did in the garden. Did he say you will surely die? You're not going to surely die. God said you're going to die. The enemy comes to conscrew things and shift things around, change the focus on things. But 7 and 1 says what? Matthew.
Judge not that ye be not judged.
Now you cannot come to God and striving to live for God, sitting down at the word of God, trying to follow God, and you're focused on everybody looking like you. Next to you, in front of you, and behind you. They have this saying in these churches, shake, get up and shake your neighbor's hand, tell them I love you. That ain't love. That's just going through an exercise. The real deal is living a life. Isn't that beautiful? But if we're going to live for God, we cannot sit around and point at somebody else doing what the same thing what we're doing, which is striving to live for God. We have to focus on living for God and get the right judgment that we can correct what we do. Not what somebody else is doing. But the devil have taken from the church all judgment. Even that silly preacher would tell you, I can't even judge you. Well, then what are you there for?
Right.
Let's see what the scripture says. 1 Peter 4:17. He says, judge not that you be not judged, but you have to rightly divide that. And that's what we come here for. Judgment.
Yes.
Judgment is what guides us through this life. And we make our choices through judgment. 1 Peter 4:17, what does it say?
For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God.
So this is where it begins. So if you want judgment and guidance in life that pleases God, come to the church of God. Isn't that beautiful? Don't go to the Popey. Don't go to a Baptist church, Presbyterian church. That don't represent God. What represents God is holiness. Righteousness, judgment. He said, let judgment run down like a river. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Let it begin at the house of God. What?
And if it first begin at us, What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?
That's not a good outcome for those that don't obey the gospel. But suppose you don't know what the gospel is. Same thing. Right. It's not a good outcome. Read.
And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?
It's saying something. The scripture is letting you know something. Mm-hmm. Now, it's the job of the one that God sent to let you understand or help you understand what God is saying. If the righteous scarcely be saved, is letting you know that righteous people are scarce in the earth.
That's right.
Let's go to Romans.
All right.
5 and 6.
All right.
It's hard to find a righteous one. So, well, what you talking about? There's people, a whole lot. I know many of Christians. That's what they're called. But are they righteous? Because it takes judgment to determine if you're righteous. And the judgment of God is right here. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Romans 5 and 6, what does it say?
For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly.
Isn't that beautiful? Yes. When we had no strength, in due time he died for the ungodly. What?
For scarcely for a righteous man will one die.
So rarely will you find will one give up their life. As the Lord said, I lay down my life. Scarcely will you find one to lay down the old man to be righteous. That's what God is talking about, to be a righteous person. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Even Peter said, Lord, I'll die for you. That was the mindset, but he couldn't do it because of the spirit he had with him. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Ones may say a lot of things they love Christ, but scarcely for righteousness, for a righteous man will one die. What?
Yet, peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die.
But some would even, most people think, well, just because somebody go in the army and join the army and says they died for their country, well, they surely going to heaven. That has nothing to do with God.
No.
1 Corinthians.
Beautiful.
13 and 1.
Yes, beautiful.
People assume a lot of things, but if they don't know the Lord and don't know his way and don't know God, you can think God will feel a certain way about a person that goes in and blow themselves up for society. They don't mean they're doing it because of for righteousness. They're doing it because of that flesh.
Yes.
Devil do that too. Devil got ones to do, give up their life for flesh. That means a person. God does the same thing. God gave a life up for people. So the devil do the same thing, but it's not for God. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
To know that. 1 Corinthians 13:1, what does it say?
Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal.
Because charity is love. The Lord said, love is the fulfilling of the law, but they tell you it's done away with. When you love correctly, it's fulfilling God's law. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Mm-hmm. He that hath my commandments and keep them, he it is that loveth me. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Read. And though.
And though I have the gift of prophecy.
What?
And understanding all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith.
What?
So that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing.
You have all of this going on for yourself. But if you don't honor God. Stop killing, committing adultery, stealing, bearing false witness, coveting, forgetting the Sabbath, taking his name in vain, making graven images, you don't love God.
Right. Right.
But that's that you love God is what you obey God. It's just that simple, right?
Mm-hmm.
Read.
And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned.
Wait a minute, that's someone dying?
Yes.
But they're not dying for a righteous man to be righteous. To die to be righteous means you're dying because you have the love and honor of God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But you got people that will die and give their body to be burned. What?
And have not charity, it profiteth me nothing.
It profiteth me nothing. What?
Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up.
So when you're really striving to please God, you don't get puffed up at the one that's bringing you correction. You don't do that. That's when you have the right love, because you have honor for God. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Let's go to Genesis 18 and 17. Let's go there. Thank God for knowledge. Like I say, you don't find too many, maybe come through here, but I don't have no reason to complain. Noah was building an ark for 120 years. Probably a whole bunch stopped by, like, dude, and said, where y'all coming from? Said, oh, y'all so pretty. Said, where you coming from? Where's it? We come from church. What? Yeah, we just came from church. Okay, bye. He said, Noah, what you doing with your building? I'm building some safety for the rain that's coming. It's going to rain? Noah, you know what you... Come on, Noah. Yeah, it's going to rain. 50 years, is he still building it? Okay, my last dying breath. Jump in there when he finishes it, because he might have something. 120 years. And destroyed the whole round world. It must not have been many righteous. Let's see what he says in Genesis. 18:17, what does it say?
And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?
Mm-hmm.
Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed
all in him. The nations will be blessed in him. What? Mm-hmm.
For I know him, that he will command
his
children.
If he knows and knew Abraham, Abraham knew him. And the scripture says, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar. So if Abraham knew him and he knew Abraham, he must not have been a liar and he must have been keeping God's commandments. He may not have had him in the 10 precepts, but God knew he wasn't violating his word. He was obeying his word. Yes. Read.
For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him.
What?
And they shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment. Justice and judgment.
He knew he was going to have the right judgment about things. When they had a problem in the camp, Lot's men, Abraham's men, couldn't get along. Abraham said, let's not fight between us, brother. Let's separate. Because they had God at heart. They had the right judgment. They had to separate because the hands that they hired, they weren't saved necessarily. And you can't make somebody love God, obey God. And more importantly, even though it was civil, they didn't need ruckus in the camp. So let's divide, because they had too much. And that beautiful judgment did that. And wait a minute, because they separated themselves, God was all right with that with Lot. He was yet in the church, because he was following Moses. Abraham, all right? Read.
That the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Read the 23rd verse.
Yes.
And Abraham
drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?
Now God don't do that. God don't destroy the righteous with the wicked. But you need judgment to become righteous. Read.
Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place?
That's your intercessor, just like the Lord, going in between intercession for the people. They didn't know somebody was fighting for them.
Yes.
They didn't know, or Lot didn't know, I got an angel fighting for you.
Beautiful.
Read.
For the 50 righteous that are therein, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked.
God's not like that. God don't slay. That's why I said when it came to Jonathan, and Saul, on that day battle, even though Jonathan's soul was knit with David, God said, I don't destroy the righteous but the wicked. So what does that tell you? You got people in this world love you and they're nice people. They're like unto the Canaan land. That don't make them saved because they like you. And because you do a good deed for God's people, don't get you into the kingdom. And though your soul is knit with God's anointed, and David loved Jonathan, God said, now here's judgment. I will not destroy the righteous. Abraham said, be far from you. Right. Lord said, I wouldn't do that. So on the battlefield, if he's slaying Goliath and all those men of renown don't come home, what does that tell you? If Saul fell and other unrighteous fell, and yet some of David's men fell, that means, okay,
yes,
do the math.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's judgment to me. Now, if you can't receive that, you need to find somebody else to listen to, because that's what I see.
Yes,
all right? Yes. Read the 20, on down to 28, read.
And that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Mm-hmm. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?
Shall not the judge of all the earth
do right?
Do right, read. Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes.
Wait a minute, is that scarcely for a righteous man? Can't hardly, in the whole city of Sodom, couldn't find 50. We could go on and on.
Right.
Yes, read 32, what does it say?
32, yes, Pastor. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet, but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there.
What?
And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake.
Not even for 10. But you're talking about a whole city that was a twin city, Gomorrah and Sodom. 10 righteous, couldn't find them. Actually, you only found one. That was Lot. And two decided to go with him, his daughters. Isn't that beautiful? One that was his right hand, look back.
Yes.
That's what God is saying, scarcely for a righteous man. Now, Abraham was willing to die to save Lot when he went down to deliver him from being captured by the kings. But he was righteous, and he was willing to do it for a righteous man. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes, Pastor.
Let's go to 1 Peter 4:18. Let's read that again. Thank God. Correct me with judgment.
Mm-hmm.
With judgment.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
Beautiful.
4. Mm-hmm. 18.
And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?
Genesis 7:1. Let's go there. Yes. Where the ungodly. Now, they always say, so many Christians, well, you better get ready. The Lord is soon to come. But I believe the Lord said, now, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of coming. So they're getting all ready, marching in from the cul-de-sac. And they got robes on, special made, and, you know, with a train behind it, getting ready. And when they come, ain't but two or three going. I mean, that's what it said, right?
Mm-hmm.
7:1, what does it say?
And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark.
All thou, talking about Noah now, all thy house, what?
For thee have I seen righteous before me.
For thee have I seen righteous
before me in this generation.
Wait a minute. We're not talking about in Frisco, in Sodom, in the whole generation. That covers the whole planet, doesn't it? And everybody's a Christian. Everybody's a follower of God. But he says, only thee have I seen. If it didn't make you feel like can't nobody do it, but if you are able to hear this message, you might be a candidate, because many don't even hear this. Isn't that beautiful? You're in a good place to understand that when he comes, it ain't but a few.
Right.
If you hear that, you're probably hearing what you ain't hearing nowhere else. Because they're all telling you everybody going to be standing in their suits. And next thing you know, you're going to see a bunch of ties on the ground and socks and everything gone. But the planes with no pilots. If I'm in the air and there's a plane got a pilot, listen, somebody going to guide this thing. Okay. What are we reading? What are we reading?
7:2, Pastor?
Okay, no, we don't want to go 7:2.
All right.
What we want to go to is 6 chapter and 9. What does it say?
6 and 9.
Yes, Genesis.
Pastor. Yes, Pastor. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation.
Wait a minute, they don't like that word. Perfect in his generation. Mm-hmm. But it's there.
Yes.
But that devil's tried to take the word perfect out of the saints' language, just as he took away saint.
Yes.
You're Christians.
Yes.
The law, that's done away with. No. Certain aspects of the law was fulfilled by him dying, and we don't need to offer bullets and heifers. And that's called New Testament.
Yes.
How are we doing here on time? Oh, right.
Mm-hmm.
What are we reading?
And Noah walked with God.
Noah walked with God. That beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
How did he walk? Psalms 37.
Psalms.
He walked with God because his steps were ordered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yes, Pastor.
That's what we strive to get over here, orders.
Mm-hmm.
And we get marching orders over here. Psalms 37 and 23, what does it say?
The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord.
Well, there's none good but one.
All right. Yeah.
So if you're not one with God, if you're not one with his word, God can't order you around.
Beautiful.
And he can't direct you. Don't get upset. Oh, well, you will be ordered around. I mean, he cannot direct you.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot get directed in what to do because you lead yourself and not the one that God said is leading you. Read it again.
The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord.
What?
And he delighteth in his way.
God delight in his way. What?
Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down.
All right.
For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand.
What?
I have been young.
I have been young.
And now.
Girl.
Yes, Pastor. All right, Pastor.
Younger.
All right.
And now I what?
Am old.
Dur.
Yes. Yes, Pastor.
Or as my granddaughter said, older.
Older.
Older. Now I'm older. What?
Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken.
Never seen the righteous forsaken. And I've been and at 425 Laconia Boulevard since 1975. Got something before me.
Yes.
Sister Tatum, Elder Batiste, they've never seen the righteous forsaken. What?
Nor his seed begging bread.
Nor his seed begging bread.
Beautiful.
Did you read 25?
I did.
Yes. Now let's read 28 verse.
For the Lord loveth judgment.
God loves judgment.
Yes.
Wait a minute. So when the judgment comes, why everybody want to walk out? Judgment came in Northrop. Sound like throw up. Northrop came and walked over here and asked Elder Phillips, said, where's the bus stop? Because the judgment was going
You can visit
forward.
Us anytime for our broadcast messages at www.godscovenantchurch.org. Write MLS at 425 Laconia Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90061. Or call us at any time at area code 323-754-8302. You can email us at info@godscovenantchurch.org. Also, you can subscribe to our podcast at www.godscovenantchurch.org. If you have any questions or concerns about this way, or questions about any scriptures, please text us at area code 323-388-5676, and we will strive to get you the answer on our program. Again, that number is area code 323-388-5676.